Not every Christmas on our calendar is the Lord's Day. But every Lord's Day is a Christmas. Every Lord's Day is a Christmas and ought to be celebrated as such. Why? Because he has come. He comes to us. He arrives. He appears to us. He's made known to us. He's made known to us in a number of different ways, but especially in the breaking of the bread. Every Lord's Day is a Christmas. May we know this. Today and every Lord's Day. But you know, Christmas and Christmas season can be challenging for many people. Some of the folks we're going to read about in the scripture had very challenging times. Even the Old Testament Isaiah, before Christmas came, as he was announcing the promise of Christmas to come, was having a challenging time, as we will hear. Even unto this day, we're going to read from Titus. Titus, after the birth of Christ. A tremendously challenging time. It can be challenging for many people. And maybe you're among them today. Maybe you have challenges that are unspeakable in your life. It is to you and it is for you that Jesus Christ has come. And he's come to us today. This past Wednesday, I had the opportunity to resume the ministry at Diamond Ridge, and it happened to fall on the winter solstice, right? The darkest day in the year. But the day that we acknowledge that from that day forward, and Christmas Day, and our the ancient church was wise to have Christmas Day fall near the winter solstice, because the sun has conquered. No matter how dark a day it may be the shortest day, the darkest day, but the sun has conquered. And that's what Christmas is all about. The days are getting longer and they're getting brighter, even if the conditions remain largely the same. And so as I looked out on those folks at Diamond Ridge, and I saw Bernie there, and I saw Carol, and I saw Connie, and I saw a dozen other folks. For them, their lives are largely the same. They had the same heartaches. They had the same body aches that you would expect from folks in retirement homes. And my time there kind of inspired at least the title of this sermon, which is Light Wins, Even in Dark Times. I want to begin with a summary of our lectionary texts and begin with John in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but came to bear witness about that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the arrival of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And we thank you that because this is the Lord's Day, this is also a Christmas Day. Because you come to us today and you make yourself known to us today. If in no other way, you do so in the breaking of the bread. Father, may we receive you, may we receive you, may we perceive you this day. And make this a Christmas Day for all. In the name of Jesus, amen. Light wins. I want to take a look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's the ESV version. The darkness comprehended it not. What does that mean? That word comprehend. You know, I think of perhaps Miss DeLapp, and she's teaching them a new concept in math in the days of our school. And some kids get it and some kids don't get it. The word comprehend is the idea of you get a grip, you get a grasp on it, and you win that wrestling match. Well, here the Bible tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't get a grip. It doesn't get a grasp. It doesn't have the victory over the light. The light wins. The darkness does not overcome it. Light wins, even in darkness. And Christmas is much about light. The coming of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And if Christmas time for us seemingly changes nothing or very little outwardly for us, the coming of Jesus can change us. And each one of our lectionary readings are about an advent, an arrival, and an appearing of our Lord in dark times. In Isaiah, the opening of the reading that you had heard read for you, we read about the arrival and the appearing of our Lord. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, right? We know these verses. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. He has these names. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. This is a glorious truth about the appearing of Christ coming on the scene. It's about the promise of his coming. And then in Luke, that's about the arrival too. And that's in real time. That is about the fulfillment, his actual arrival in Luke 2 and 11, right? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then in Titus, in chapter 2, and I have verses 11 and then 13. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. This is a New Testament verse, so it's after the actual arrival, but it also is a reminder that there is another arrival to come. His second coming. He came and he's coming again. Titus also tells us why he came in verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Titus is also telling us how we are to live and to looking to verse 12, we see that. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly in this present age. The appearing that we see in these two verses, verses 11 and 13, is the basis of it is Epiphany. That's the season that we're right up against, that Christ will appear. That can occur in a dark time. And it always necessitates light, his appearing. And at the end of history, just to prove that he is the light, and he is our only light, at the end of history in Revelation 22 and 5, it says, and night will be no more. Can you imagine? We're going to talk about some folks in our reading that are going through a dark time. And the light keeps them going. The light is their joy. The light is their help. And you know what? There is a time coming where there will not be any more night. There will not be any more darkness. And this is the promise of Revelation 22 and 5. Night will be no more. They will need no light of a lamp or a sun. For the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. He is our light. But until then, history is filled with a great measure of darkness. Just to give you an idea of what Isaiah was going through as he saw that vision of the promise of his coming. In Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, arise and shine, for your light has come, For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But let's remember here, for behold, darkness shall cover the whole earth, thick darkness among the people. But the Lord will come and bring you light. Darkness there in Isaiah 60 is the same darkness that we found back in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Remember this verse? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. Verse 4 of that passage tell us that these folks were in burden, they were in oppression, and they were in tyranny. And sometimes the darkness, the burden, the tyranny and the oppression comes from without, and sometimes it comes from within. But in both cases, Christ is the light. Look at verse 4. It says, the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken. Azan, or in the day of Midian. The first advent promised to be a time just like the time of Gideon. And I say that because of this reference here. Because invoked here is the day of Midian. And if we know our Bibles, we know that that's talking about how Gideon had come and saved people from oppression and tyranny and a yoke of bondage. A real dark time. And this sends us all the way back to the book of Judges, chapter 6. This is the time of Gideon. The people of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them over unto the Midianites 7 years. And the hand of the Midianites overpowered Israel, because the Midianites, the people of Israel, made themselves dead. They were hiding. Now, if we remember the book of Hebrews, this is quoted there, the Hebrews Hall of Fame. But this is what it was like. It wasn't fun. They were oppressed horribly. This was bad this time. It was really bad. Look at the same chapter, verses 4 through 6. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or oxen or donkey. They were occupied by a foreign group. Talk about darkness. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come like locusts in number, the enemy. Both they and their camels would not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in, and Israel was brought very low because of the Midianites. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord to help them. Living in oppression and tyranny and bondage is standard fare in the Bible because of our sin. And in every culture, every society, because of our sin, there is an element of oppression and bondage and tyranny. But as God sent Gideon, and we see that in verse 14, as God sent Gideon to be their Savior, even so God has sent a greater than Gideon, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us. And therefore there is joy, there is light that has come to us. Let's look at Isaiah 9 and verse 3 again. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. Remember, this is a time like the time of Midian here, where the Midianites were persecuting them. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad as those that gain the spoil. Joy in knowing that the sun will conquer, that light wins, even in a time of darkness. What is more, we learn from verse 4 of that passage, because it's the context is the coming of the Son, is that Jesus breaks every yoke. The yoke of our burden, the yoke of the staff that is on our shoulder, the work of the rod of those who are oppressing us is broken. And so I want to ask every single one of you here today, what do you need for him to take off your back? Some of us come to this Christmas day and Christmas time with heavy burdens. And the promise of his coming and that light winds in this darkness we are living in, what do you need for him to take off your back? Maybe I could put it another way. What do you need to get off your shoulder? What are you carrying around that you ought not to carry? And when I say this, I'm speaking and I'm preaching to my own self. What do you need to get off your chest? The promise of Christmas is that this deliverer who is coming, who is the light, who will defeat darkness, is the one who's going to break that burden, break that rod, break that tyranny, break that oppression, whether it comes from without or within, because light wins even in dark times. I want you to take a look in the book of Titus, and this time in verse 5, as the book even opens. This is why I left you in Crete. Great. You know where Crete was? Crete was an island out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Paul left Titus in Crete. Oh, great. Thank you very much. He's stuck on this island out in the middle of nowhere. And he's stuck there, and guess who are there? Who do you think lives in Crete? Cretans. He's stuck there with a bunch of Cretans. Well, let me tell you who Cretans, what Cretans were like and who they were. Look at verse 12. One of the Cretans, even a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons." Oh, this is the bunch. I'm left here on this island amongst this crowd. By the way, I've always enjoyed verse 13 of this. This is St. Paul saying, "This testimony is true." Boy, would he be in trouble today, right? For saying that they are always liars, right? These stereotypes that he uses. Paul says, "This testimony is true." Oh my, good for Paul that he lived in that time, right? But God left us here in Troy. God left us here in New York. We could say the same thing about New York. We could say the same thing about Troy, about the oppression and about the Cretans that surround us. Furthermore, maybe your neighbor is a Cretan. Maybe your workplace is filled with Cretans. Maybe where your school is, that Cretans are there. Maybe the government is filled with Cretans. And then I say, do we really need to say maybe they are? Because they are. But maybe, just maybe, you are where you are because the Cretans are there. Because the Cretans are here. Maybe God wants you there because the Cretans need you. But even there in Crete for Titus, and here in Crete for us, the light wins, even in dark times. He's came and he promises to come again. And that's what the encouragement was for Titus. In chapter 2, as we look at verses 11 and 13 again. "For the grace of God has appeared." Okay, we can do this. Christmas has come historically. It's arrived. And we know that he's coming again. And we know that the light is going to win, even in dark times. And so Titus is able to press on. And we are able to press on. And by the way, both of these words again mean epiphany. They mean appearing. And we can't have appearing without light. And so God promises to be with Titus among the Cretans, even in Crete. God is the light of the world. Briefly, we've seen dark times for Isaiah. dark times for Titus. But I wonder if you've ever considered that the shepherds had dark times too. And I wonder if you've ever considered, as blessed as Mary and Joseph are, that Mary and Joseph had dark times. I want you to think about our gospel lesson. Was it not dark? Life under the Caesars? Life under the Herods? Remember Luke in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In those days, a decree went out from Augustus. What a firm grip they had. And you know the word registered here is all about their taxation. And all went to be registered, each one to his own town. Between the Romans and the Jews, this was the most heavily taxed, and it was the most heavily tied to death people in history. We've been over that before. That between what the Jews were piling on to the people and what the Romans were taxing the people for, we think we're oppressed. We think we live in a dark time. Joseph and Mary had it pretty bad. How many of us have to deal with being relocated on demand? Everybody go to a different town, miles away, where you had to walk. So you could sign up for the taxation. Relocation on demand. Mary and Joseph had it pretty tough in a pretty dark time. And we'll return to that because some of the things required of them are even worse than that. How would you like to be a shepherd? You know, we think of a cute little shepherd and cute little sheep, and there's nothing cute about sheep, by the way, maybe for about one day, and then they stink, and then they're stupid, right? And a shepherd carrying those sheep, he's going to stink too. And being a shepherd really stunk in those days. You were at the very bottom of the social structure. The very bottom. You weren't allowed a lot of going to any of the religious festivals. You weren't even allowed to be someone who could be counted on to be on a jury. You were the bottom of the rung as a shepherd. But the light came to them. And I want you to see here in verse 20, even as nothing else changed, they were changed. In verse 20 says, the shepherds returned. Just get the impact of that. All right, I got the worst job in the world, but I get this glorious truth about Christmas. And here I go. I go back to the same old, same old. I have to go back to the very same stinky job I used to have. Nothing outwardly changes. Maybe that's going to be true for you. Maybe it's going to be true for all of us. That come Monday morning, we are going to go back to the same old, what we think to be the worst job in the world. Nothing changed, but they were changed. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Because this light has come. Mary and Joseph eventually settle back in Galilee, but before they do that, right after this Christmas time here, on the eighth day of Jesus' life, he's circumcised. And listen to this, what they get to hear from Luke in chapter 2. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his wife, behold, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. What is this? And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. You all say, wouldn't it be great to be Isaiah? Wouldn't it be great to be Titus? Wouldn't it be great to be Joseph? Or wouldn't it be great to be Mary? Do you know the anguish of their lives? A sword will pierce your soul also, what Mary had to endure. In the future, going forward, for them, through all of this and more, God gave them light. Mary pondering things in her heart. God gave them light, and light wins, even in dark times. John 1:5 again tells us, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What was true of them, Isaiah, and Titus, and the shepherds, and Joseph, and Mary, what was true of them can be true of us. Let's give praise and thanks to God. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your great goodness to us. We thank you, Lord God, that every Lord's Day is a Christmas Day that you come to us. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that, Lord, we have seen the light and how much we need the light, how much we need to remember the light. For truly we live in dark times with oppression from within and from without, with burdens within and burdens without, with tyranny within and tyranny without. Father, I pray for each one who may be suffering today. I pray for the folks at Diamond Ridge with their heartaches, with their body aches. And I pray for this congregation today with all that ails them. I pray for myself today. Father, I thank you that light wins even in times of darkness. So help us to rejoice. Help us to return to whatever it is we return to later today and tomorrow. But help us to return glorifying and praising you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.